Good morning. Hope you are doing well this morning. I'm going to jump right in. We are covering the fivefold ministry callings and giftings found in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you verses 7 and 11 through 13. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 that to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, or as Christ has divided it. We're told what this grace is that he has given us in verses 11 through 13. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. During this series, we're talking about how each person in the body of Christ, each person who has committed their life to Christ and they are following Christ today, have been called to one of these five callings. And that because they were called to one of these five callings, God has gifted them, because he's not going to call you to do something that he doesn't equip you to do. You have been gifted to serve into one of these five. And so last week, we talked about apostles and the purpose of apostles, and how apostles are the sent ones. They're the ones that remind the church that we've always been sent on mission, and that apostles are good at organizing the church in such a way to help the church to function at its fullest capacity. I do want to say this, and I said this last week in our Zoom call. I am focusing on the church side of this, but these callings can be lived out in the everyday world. In your workplaces. I heard some people talking about afterwards. I actually had two or three people talk about teachers. We have multiple teachers in our church. And talking about how often teachers have to have the apostleship gift. They have a vision for what their classroom should look like. They plan out the day. They organize things. And that is the apostleship calling being lived out in our school systems, in our schools. And so as we cover these today, I'm focusing on the church side, but you can also live these out in your workplaces and in your everyday life. It doesn't just have to be with church. Today we are talking about prophets. We typically think about prophets from the Old Testament when we say prophets. And in the Old Testament, the prophets, they had a close relationship with God, and God would reveal things to them, and so then they would speak to God's people on behalf of God. I often think about the prophet Nathan speaking to David, speaking what God wanted to say to David after his sin. The prophet Nathan spoke to David on behalf of God. And so the prophets would speak on behalf of God to his people. And often they would remind God's people that they were in a relationship with God, a covenant relationship. And in a covenant relationship, two parties agreed to something. And so God has agreed to make them his people, that he would give them the promised land, that he would work in them, and that he would be with them, but they had to obey God. Today, prophets serve similar roles to the prophets in the Old Testament. Today, people who have this prophetic gifting are often close to God. Out of all five of these we're talking about, the prophets are the most God-oriented. And when I say that, they have their focus pretty much on God. Now, well, they will focus on we're going to talk about vertical and horizontal relationships today. But they are focused on what God wants, what God feels, what God is saying. And so they typically have a close relationship with God, and God can reveal things to them to help build the church. And that they speak on behalf of God to his people. But often, and this is the way I see the prophetic gifting being lived out in our church, is that modern-day prophets are very concerned about God's people living in a holy relationship with him. The modern-day prophets, especially the prophets in our church, people who have this calling, they have this heart to see people live holy lives. And it pains us, and I say us because I definitely line with this calling, it pains us to see people get off track. And so prophets remind us of our covenant relationship with God. prophets are mentioned multiple times in the New Testament. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10:41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Sounds like he says we should be welcoming prophets, but in many churches, in many places today, we teach that the prophetic calling is no longer a thing. Jesus says that we need to welcome a prophet and we're going to receive a prophet's reward. He also warns us in Matthew 7:15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. We definitely see there were prophets in the early church. Acts 11:27. Luke mentions that there were some prophets that came down to Antioch, and this was the same point where we were at last week talking about how the church in Antioch would send Paul out from Antioch. They had prophets that were coming down to Antioch, so we see the prophetic calling was active in the church. In Acts 13:1, we're told again, now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul is covering here basically how your service should look when you gather together with the church. And he says that two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So obviously, prophets were speaking in the service for Paul to feel like he needed to mention it. And so he's given us this order in service. In Ephesians, and we've looked at this verse already during this series, and we're going to look at it again, we're kind of taught here that the prophets are part of that foundation that's built as well. Paul said in Ephesians 2:20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We're built on the foundation of the apostles, which we talked about are the sent ones and often go and establish a foundation, but also the prophets help build that foundation as well. As we did last week, we're going to look at Jesus today because Jesus was the perfect prophet. He is our example. The people who witnessed Jesus' ministry firsthand viewed him as a prophet. After he performed a miracle in Luke 7:16, we're told that the people were filled with awe and they praised God and said, a great prophet has appeared among us. And they said, God has come to help his people. They viewed Jesus as this prophet that has come to God's people, to speak to God's people. Jesus himself referred to himself as a prophet when he could not do any miracles in his hometown because of their lack of faith. He says in Mark 6:4, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. So obviously Jesus viewed himself as a prophet, the people viewed him as a prophet, and he is the perfect example of a prophet. So he's the example we will be looking at today. We are just covering the prophetic calling of an individual today because I don't have time to cover the functions as well. And so we will do that again tonight at 5 p.m. on Zoom. We will talk about how prophets help the church, what the effect that prophets have on the church, and how they remind us how the church should function. I've set this sermon up the same way I did last week. I've got 5 terms that describe someone with a prophetic calling on their life. And you're going to see that there is this vertical dynamic in terms of their relationship with God, but just as God is concerned with everything going on down here, so is the prophet. So there's this vertical aspect and there's this horizontal aspect where they're concerned about what's going on down here as well. So my first term for you today for someone that has the prophetic calling on their life is listener. They are a listener. And when I say listener, I'm not just talking about in one sense. I'm talking about in multiple senses. A prophet is going to be someone who focuses on listening and being aware of God and his leading. Typically, someone who has this calling, they are going to have a close relationship with God, and they're going to listen for God's word and God's communication with them. They're going to be very aware of what God is wanting to say. But also, it goes further than that. they are going to be attentive to everything going on around them as well, to see if God is speaking through someone else, or if God is trying to communicate something to them through their surrounding. Typically, someone who has the prophetic calling on their life, they are very good at diagnosing when we are in the middle of a spiritual war. So they're able to identify this person, or this is something that is coming, this is an attack from Satan. They're able to recognize what is from God and what is not from God. And so I chose the word listener because all that requires listening. Listening to God, being aware and listening for God in your surroundings, and then looking at what's going on, the situations we face, and being and having this insight to what is going on spiritually in the realms that we cannot see. Jesus often would go alone by himself to listen to God, to pray. We're told in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So obviously, he wanted to listen to the Father. But Jesus was also constantly aware of every situation of what the Father wanted to do in those situations. And so one of the things that I was thinking about, one of the stories I was thinking about was Lazarus. When Jesus was told Lazarus was sick, Lazarus is his friend, he's close to Lazarus. Here was his response. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. He looked past what the bad news was, and he realized that God had a purpose in this. That this was so that God would be glorified, and so that him, Jesus, God's Son, may be glorified through it as well. So he saw past what was on the surface, and he saw what God was wanting to do spiritually. I was also thinking about how many times Jesus was very aware of the spiritual battle going on. And he could discern when someone needed physical healing and when someone needed a demon cast out of them. Anybody's watching the Chosen series? I know that there's a few of you watching it. A few episodes ago, it was the demon-possessed man came up on the camp and was talking out of his mind. He was getting aggressive, and he was about to, he's getting a fight with someone, probably about to kill him. And you saw where Jesus came up, and Jesus said, "Get out." I don't remember if that's exactly what he said, but you saw the power that Jesus had over the demon, and immediately that man fell to the ground. And I know that that was a show, and they were portraying it the best they could, but I just saw the power that Jesus had. And Jesus didn't diagnose that as a physical problem or even a mental problem. It was a spiritual problem. He knew. Often people with this prophetic calling, they're able to discern that. The church needs people who are going to listen and be aware of God's leadings. Without prophets, very few people are actually listening and hearing from God. And no one is aware of what God is doing or wants to do. And our ability to discern what is going on spiritually is hindered. And I've seen this play out in the church. So many people think that we can't hear from God today. I know people that actually believe that we cannot hear from God today, that God would not speak to us personally, that God can't speak to us personally, that he did that, he used to do that, but for some reason he doesn't do that now, but we serve a God that doesn't change. And so I believe that if he spoke to the prophets of the past, that he's going to speak to God's people today. He's going to speak to his people that he loves and cares for and has a relationship with. And so I believe that God does speak to us today. But I believe because we have suppressed the prophetic calling in our churches, there are people who believe that God does not speak to us. And I'm not saying that you had to have this calling to hear from God, but I will say that these people often focus on hearing from God because they're oriented vertically. They're focused on what God is saying, what God is wanting to do. I believe God certainly is wanting to speak. In fact, I'll go a step further. I believe he is speaking, but we do so much talking that we are not listening. We think we know
what we need to do. We think we know what is right or wrong. We think that we know the best way to do church today. We think we know, we have all the answers on how to reach people with the gospel, when we need to be talking to the one that really does know. And we need to be listening to him. So the church needs prophets who are going to be aware of God's leadings and are going to teach us to listen to his leading as well. Part two of that, and this is your second word, someone that has this calling, they are a revealer. They are going to reveal what God is speaking. They're not going to keep it in, keep it to themselves. They are going to reveal God's word to his people. Think about almost like a mouthpiece for God, is somewhat what prophets are like. Now, it's a little bit different from teachers. You'll hear me teach on teachers in a few weeks. A teacher is going to speak about God. A prophet is going to speak on God's behalf. Going to speak. So often today what I'm doing, I'm teaching. So you're seeing that teaching gift come out. When I did our word for the year, that's the prophetic calling coming out. I'm telling you what I believe God is speaking to our church in this moment. Today I'm teaching. So teachers are going to teach about God. Prophets are going to speak on God's behalf, telling us what God is saying. Also, a part of that revealing that prophets do, and I want you to catch this, prophets often identify with and reveal God's heart. So someone that has this calling is going to, I'm not going to say they have the heart of God, but they get pretty close to it. Someone that has this calling is going to feel really burdened by the sins of other people. Someone that has this calling is going to hurt as God hurts when they see someone in sin or someone falling away from him. But also they're going to reveal God's heart and God's love to us, that God loves us so much that he gave his one and only son. And because of that, we can have a relationship with him. So they're going to hurt, and they're going to reveal God's heart towards our sin, but they're also going to reveal God's love. I got three B words here, and this is not really a point, but you know how my mind works. Prophets sometimes can come across as blunt and bold, but they can be a true blessing. Here's why they can come across as blunt. I've experienced this myself. When I feel so burdened, and I'll just go and say frustrated, saddened by people's sin, I come across as blunt sometimes. That's why I step on the toes like I do on Sunday morning. It's because I feel how God feels about that. Not completely, but I get a taste of it. And so I come across as blunt because I think God can be blunt sometimes. I think God can be blunt with us and tell us the truth, and even though it hurts, that might be its purpose, is to hurt so that it leads to repentance. But prophets are also bold. Because those feelings are so strong within them, when they feel like God is telling them to say something, they have to communicate it. There are times where I feel like God wants me to say something to the church, and I don't feel myself until I get it off my chest, because that burden is so heavy on me, because I can identify with how God feels about people's sin. But they also can be a blessing because they reveal God's heart and God's plans to us, and we need that. We need people who are going to tell us how God feels about things, and we need people who are going to reveal God's plans and who are going to lead us and keep us focused on what God wants. Jesus, he was the mouthpiece for God. He told in John 12:49, Jesus is God himself, and we'll get to that here in a second, but John 12:49, Jesus said, "I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." He speaks on behalf of the Father. Jesus would reveal God's heart. towards other people. And this is a negative example, but this shows the bluntness and the boldness. The religious leaders were far from God, and so Jesus revealed the heart of God towards these religious leaders in Matthew chapter 15. He says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." You notice that is blunt? Can you imagine going up to pastors today and saying, "You're a hypocrite"? Can you imagine going, think about a respected pastor, a TV pastor, and you're going up to that person and you're saying, "You're a hypocrite. You worship God in vain. You are far from Him." And this is what Jesus did. He would go up and He would be bold and blunt, but He revealed God's heart towards these people who were far from God. A prophet's going to be someone that is willing to speak truth to power. They're going to be willing to speak to those in power and speak God's truth to them. Now Jesus, talking about Jesus as the perfect prophet, Jesus was the Word Himself. He was God. And so Jesus was the ultimate communication to us, that God loves us and that He wants a relationship with us. We're told in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So you want to talk about someone revealing God? That is what Jesus. Jesus was God Himself and revealed to us everything we need to know about God. The church needs prophets who are going to reveal to us what God wants us to know. Without prophets in the church, we don't hear what God wants to say to us specifically. We forget how God feels about sin. We forget God's heart towards sin, and I think what happens is that we often tolerate in the church things that we should not. And today in the church, unfortunately, I think because the prophetic calling has been suppressed, we've got sin running rampant in the church, and no one feels bad about it. Even some churches are encouraging it, even though God is heartbroken by it. I would hate to truly feel completely how God feels about the church in America today, because I'm sure we break His heart. I'm sure that because of the sin that's in the seats, because the sins that are in the pulpit, the sins that are on the stage, because of the way that His people are living, it breaks God's heart. And we need prophets. We need people who know how God feels about this to speak that truth to the church, so that the church will ultimately repent and turn from that. That they would ultimately repent and be a Spirit-led body. When today the church is not even interested in that. The church lacks direction. We're doing whatever our human leaders think are best. And many human leaders are not following God. We need people with the prophetic calling who are going to reveal God's words and God's heart to us. Now, Paul does say that when a prophecy comes forth, we're to test that prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21. "Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all." Here's an example. How many of you heard that there was prophets that prophesied that Donald Trump was going to win the 2020 election? That was shared multiple times. Especially in some of the Christian group pages I'm in. That didn't come true. That prophecy was tested. That prophecy was wrong. They even prophesied, even after it looked like he had lost the election, that everything was going to be overturned, that he was going to get back in. And there have even been recent things talking about how they were prophesying that Donald Trump would get back in by a certain date, all these things. It's wrong. I believe I'm right on this. If you really want to evangelize and talk to a someone who's a part of the Jehovah's Witness cult, they had a prophecy, I believe, that the world would end And it was like in 1980-something. And so, and I'm probably getting the dates wrong, I'm just guessing. But I remember reading this a few years ago. And so they said one of the best ways to get them to realize that they're in a cult is to have them read the scripture about testing prophecies, and that if a prophet's prophecy does not come true, then they are a false prophet. And this was one of their main leaders. This was one of their main people. He prophesied that the world would end in 1980. So you ask them if they believe in scripture. And they do. They have that scripture in their Bible, their form of the Bible. And then you tell them, well, what about this prophecy? And then they begin to realize, oh, wait a second. That must have been a false prophet. Are we led by a bunch of false prophets? Yes. Yes, you are. That's what you would say then. Because they are. And so when there's a prophecy and it is not fulfilled, then chances are either that person didn't hear from God, or basically what he's telling you here is test them. Test those prophecies. See if they come true. See if God's speaking the same thing to you. But we do need people who are going to speak on God's behalf to us. Here's how this has played out in our church so far. There are people, multiple people in our church that I believe have this calling. They will say things to me that go perfectly with what is going on, and they don't even know it. They will say things to me that are perfect for what I am experiencing or what our church is experiencing, and they don't even know it. And often God will have one of them come up to me, and then after service another one will come up to me and say the same thing or something similar. Yesterday we were at district conference for our denomination, and they were praying over the church planters. And the guy that came down from headquarters prayed over me and Sarah. He doesn't know what's going on in our church. He doesn't know what we're experiencing. But his prayer went perfectly. And I said, you know what? He probably has a prophetic calling. He's close to God. You could just tell that he was praying in the Spirit and the Spirit was speaking to him. Another way this prophetic calling has been lived out in our church is our words for the year. God gives me a word for the year, and these words have been appropriate every year that we have been a church. That is a result of my prophetic calling and gifting. Pastor Bernard, I believe, has a prophetic calling and gifting on his life. One Sunday, you just tell, it was just a different spirit in here, not a good spirit. And Bernard was sitting in the back, and he was seeing things spiritually that we did not see. And would speak into that and was aware of the spiritual warfare going on and would reveal that. And that changes even the way I think and the way I operate when I hear someone say something. Either they're confirming something to me or they're making me aware of something. That changes how I lead, knowing that, okay, this is not a problem in the world. This is something that's being fought in the spiritual realms. And we need to fight it there. And so we need prophets who are going to remind us of God's heart towards us and towards our sin. And we have people who do that in our church. We have people who get really bothered by the sins of the people. But they are the same people who are going to remind us of just how much God loves us and that God does not desire the life that we live when we live in sin. That's often how I see the prophetic calling lived out in our church. We have a lot of people in here that want to see the church to live holy lives. And they get disgusted with people's sin. And that leads into number three here. A prophet is another word to describe it as a preserver. They're going to preserve the church. The church is always in danger of becoming more corrupt. And notice I said more corrupt because I think the church has already been corrupted a little bit. They're going to be people, these prophets. And let me say this. Often when we think of prophets, we just think about them revealing God's heart and God's mind and God's word to us. But just in my experience, often the listening and the revealing does not come for a little bit. The way I first experienced the prophetic in my calling is in these remaining three. And then the listening and the revealing came later. As you mature and as you grow into your calling, which I hope you do during and after this series, you will see that you'll live these other things out more, even though you might not be living them out right now. So a prophet is going to want to preserve the church from becoming more corrupt. And often how they do that is that they remind people that we are in a covenant relationship with God and that we need to live out that calling through living holy, set-apart lives. They do not tolerate sin, and they are going to constantly call people deeper in their relationship with Christ so that the church does not get off track. Jesus called people deeper. Here's what he said in Matthew 6:33. He told his followers, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Don't worry about all the worldly things. Seek first his kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God, and seek first the righteous living that he has called us to live. So he's telling us to keep our focus. Jesus expected his people to love God with all of who they are and to love their neighbor. That's in Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Notice this. Jesus is talking about the vertical dimension on loving God, but also there's a horizontal dimension, loving others. There's the vertical dimension in terms of living your lives for God. You're to live holy lives for God, but you're also to live out those holy lives with others. Personal holiness, social holiness. You want to make sure that you're living right with God, but you also want to live right with one another. He also wanted his followers to stay on track of following God and glorifying him. In fact, he kind of gave us this goal in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, or that can be translated, be becoming perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's our goal. He's not saying that you have to be perfect in terms of you never do anything wrong, you're just like Jesus. No. He's saying be becoming perfect. Be focused on continuing to grow. That's perfect in intention. You intend to obey God. Going back to my sermon a few weeks ago about aiming. Your aim is always in the direction of how God has called us to live. That's perfect intention, perfect desire. That's the goal that Jesus set up. So obviously, Jesus preached a holiness message. Obviously, Jesus was calling people deeper in a relationship with God, and I think that's that prophetic calling coming out of him. We need prophets to help preserve the church from further decay. I don't have to tell you that the church has majorly got off track. Denominations are now promoting sin. Churches have settled for a religious experience on Sunday morning that make people feel good, but it does not bring them a bit closer to Christ. The church's focus has gotten off track, and I believe that's because the prophetic calling has been suppressed. We need prophets who are going to remind us that we are to live holy lives devoted to God, to boldly call God's people out when they are not living the way they should be living. They're going to stand up and they're going to speak for how things need to be, how things should be as followers of him. I'm going to go as far to say is that prophets are going to be holiness people. I think that the holiness movement had a bunch of prophets within it. For us in our church, people with this prophetic calling often fit well into our discipleship ministries because they focus on calling people deeper and want to see people go deeper in that relationship with God. Knowing God has gifted me in this way, I believe that plays a role in how often I preach holiness or I bring holiness into my messages. Prophets are going to push the church closer to God and help us to remain in a close relationship with him so that we don't get off track, as sadly many churches and many denominations have. I was thinking about our brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church. They're heading for a split next year, probably. I wonder if the prophets, the people that God has called to be prophets and gifted to be prophets, I wonder if they spoke up. Or did they stay silent? Did they speak up when they had people coming to the microphone at their conferences calling what the Bible clearly calls as sin as something good? That's where I believe the prophets are going to play a key role in the future. Because as our world gets worse, the church is going to continue to be pulled. Prophets are going to push it closer to God while the world's pulling us. Now, when the church does get off track, though, prophets can also be reformers. That's your fourth word. When the church does get off track, a prophet is going to focus on what needs to happen to bring reform. A reformer is someone who makes changes to something in order to improve it. They're going to see what needs to change through the spiritual insight that God gives them, and they're going to be leaders of that change. Often prophets are going to go against the crowd if the crowd is going off track. If they see that the church is heading in the wrong direction, they are going to call God's people to repentance. That's often the message that the prophets in the Old Testament preached, was repent, for the end is near. Repent, for destruction is coming. Repent. We need prophets today who are going to preach repentance to God's people in the church. The evangelists are going to go speak to the people outside the church. The prophets are going to really focus a lot inside the church. They're also going to focus outside. But the prophets are going to call God's people to repentance. Jesus was a reformer. The Chosen series has done a really good job of showing how Jesus was going against the grain of Judaism. The Jews had developed all these rules and customs that were in addition to what God had commanded. So they had all these man-made rules. And Jesus, the Chosen series have done a really good job of showing how Jesus just confronted those man-made rules head on. One such example, and this was on a recent episode of The Chosen, was in Matthew chapter 12. We're told in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. The Chosen series made an assumption there and assumed that it was Peter. They were probably right because he didn't always think. When the Pharisees saw this, they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." One of the man-made rules was that they couldn't even pick their food from the grain fields to eat it. That was a man-made rule that was in addition to what God had commanded. And so Jesus, he's saying, it's okay. But Jesus takes it a step further in Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Because on the Sabbath, you were supposed to rest. And I guess to heal was not resting. To help someone was not resting. So Jesus said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then, just for good measure, he told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. See, Jesus was going against their teachings. They didn't want him to heal this man because that was work and he was supposed to rest. And Jesus said no. He's teaching them that these man-made rules were not more important than people. That these man-made rules were not more important than helping people. He was bringing reform and doing it in a bold way. Today, prophets are going to do the same thing because the church is in need of reform. We have strayed so far away from what God desires that we need prophets who are going to bring reform to the church. And so typically, prophets are going to be able to identify what the problem is. Where have we gotten off track? And they're going to know what God wants or desires because God has revealed it to them. And they're going to help lead that change process. Every church, including our church, we drift off course at times. But there are people in our church who help us get back to what God wants or desires. Thinking about today, we sang about the heart of worship. That is getting back to what worship is really about. It's not about the singing. It's not about all that. It's about bringing our heart to Him. And so prophets are going to remind us of what church is really about, and that's about worshiping God and glorifying Him. It's going to bring reform. Number five, advocate. Prophets are going to be advocates. This is often how I see the prophetic calling lived out in the secular world. A prophet is going to be someone who advocates for the less fortunate. Typically, someone with this calling is going to have a soft spot for those who are in tough spots. They're going to remind the church that we are called to reach others, and especially the poor and downtrodden. They're going to be champions of justice. They're going to make sure that the church keeps that outward focus on reaching the poor, reaching those that need help. And they're going to advocate on their behalf. This is out of the Old Testament, but we read it a few weeks ago in our men's study. Amos 5:12, the problem with God's people here, he gives an example. There are those who oppress the innocent and they take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. He's telling them, you guys are taking advantage of these poor people, of these innocent poor people, and depriving them of justice. He's calling them out. He's advocating on their behalf. Prophets today do the same thing. Jesus was an advocate for the poor. He called us to love those who are less fortunate than us. He talks about in Matthew chapter 25 that on judgment day, the king's going to say on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And we would ask, Lord, when do we do that? In Matthew 25:40, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We're called to love those who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are strangers, who are naked and in need of clothing, who are sick, who are in prison. The less fortunate. He tells us we are called to reach. When we go and we love them, we are loving the King Himself. The church needs prophets who are going to advocate on behalf of the less fortunate. Every church has the tendency to get inwardly focused, which is the opposite of what we should be doing. Prophets remind us that there are people who need our help, and they are going to turn us back outward to love others. Next week, you're going to hear from Pastor Lisa about how evangelists do the same thing. Evangelists keep us focused outward. Prophets are going to remind us that there are people who need help. Modern-day prophets who are advocates, examples here, Christians who are involved in confronting the social issues of our day, such as abortion, homosexuality, and racism. Love Life is a pro-life organization that is in Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh, and they're in a bunch of other cities as well. But I believe Love Life, I've went up there before, and our church has actually adopted a week in October, but I believe Love Life attracts people who have this prophetic calling on their life. I believe Love Life attracts these people who are willing to get out on the front lines and boldly proclaim God's truth, but also God's love. Rather than shouting at them, you know, I've been out there at an abortion clinic before and they're shouting, you're going to hell if you walk in there. No, this is about we love you, we care about you, God loves you. Come here. We want to help you. They're advocating on behalf of the unborn. And I believe there are prophets in secular workplaces as well. I saw when I worked at Food Lion that some people had this calling on their lives because they had a heart for the less fortunate. And they would advocate on their behalf. Prophets remind us to love others, and they advocate on behalf of others who we often forget at times. That's that horizontal dynamic. Yes, that holy living needs to be lived out in our lives as worship to God, but also you need to love others. Prophet is going to be focused on both that vertical and horizontal relationship. Love God, love others. They help us remain on track. But let me quickly tell you this. The prophetic ministry, being a prophet, it can be tough. Because often prophets are misunderstood because of their boldness. They can come across as too blunt sometimes, which creates issues with others. If they are immature in their calling, they can even be divisive, which is why the New Testament puts prophets under strict restrictions. Also, being a prophet can be the loneliest of the five ministries. Because if you're going against the grain, sometimes you are the only one standing out there. But God needs you to stand out there to hopefully get the church back on track. Prophets should aim to follow Jesus as a suffering servant, knowing that even when we are being attacked, even though we're being ridiculed, even though we're going against the grain and we're lonely and we're standing out there by ourselves, know that that suffering serves a purpose. And it's to bring the church closer to God. Listen, we need prophets because our world is progressively getting worse. And the church is called to be the salt of the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth." But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. The prophets help us remain salty. I love some salt on my food. The prophets help us to remain salty because if we stop being salt, we are worthless. I'm just thinking shepherds bring sugar into the church. They build those connections. While prophets bring that saltiness. Prophets make sure the church never loses its saltiness. That we will continue to be the purifying agent in the world that God has called us to be. That we will continue to add flavor to make this world a better place. Prophets are going to help us to remain salt. And church, it's going to be harder and harder as we go over these next 10, 20, 30 years. Because the world is getting worse. Those of you that live longer than I have, which is a lot of you, you know just in your lifetime that the world has gotten worse. We need prophets who are going to stand up and make sure the church does not get worse with along with the world. So prophets, they're going to boldly speak up when they believe God is revealing to them what needs to change. They're going to speak truth to power. They're going to advocate on behalf of the less fortunate. They're going to keep the church heading in the right direction. And they're going to try to make this world a better place through keeping the church on track.